from Fort Worth, Texas, the Jesus Christ Said radio ministry is on the air. Our website, which has email and contact information along with past sermons, is www.jesuschristsaid.com. Now, with today's message about the good news of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, here's evangelist David Perkins.
Thank you, George. In Mark, the 8th chapter, beginning in verse 34, Jesus Christ said, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his life? For what can a man give in return for his life? For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him will the Son of Man also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." The words of Jesus Christ written in blood red from the Gospel of Mark, the 8th chapter. Please pray with me. O Heavenly Father, guide my heart and my words in the message you proclaim today. May it open the seeker's soul to the love of your Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray for your mercy. Amen. Well, welcome to you all in the name of Jesus Christ. Welcome. It's so good to talk to you. Some listen all over America and the world on the internet. So welcome to all of you in the name of Jesus Christ. Welcome to you. God has given me the idea of a brand new church, a new type of church, one that we will call the ecumenical church for the followers of Jesus Christ. I'll begin to see if there's a physical place somewhere here in Fort Worth for us to meet at least once a month. And if you would, on your part, please contact me by email or by regular mail or however you can with your suggestions about what part of Fort Worth we should be in and when to meet, Saturday or Sunday or any other day, and what time of the day and how long we should meet. Now, we need some place where it's free because we just don't have the money to rent a place and pay for our radio time also. And our church, which is called the Ecumenical Church for the Followers of Jesus Christ, will be open to all. That's the ecumenical part. Will be open to all who either follow Jesus Christ or want to follow Jesus Christ. Christ didn't reject anyone, so why should we? And you know, I'm really looking forward to meeting many of you for the first time and bringing the words of what Jesus Christ said to you in person. Today's Bible reading comes from the Old Testament, one of the most known and loved chapters in all of the Bible, Psalms, the 23rd chapter. The Bible says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." That's our Bible reading for today, the 23rd Psalm. May God's mercy be upon us all and his life shine in our hearts and in our soul. An article that my family in Tyler gave to me from the Alliance Quarterly, written by Dr. Ligon Duncan, dated fall 2006, titled "Still the Radical Truth," begins like this. Dr. Duncan writes, "Many of us are familiar with the inspiring story of the audacious German monk Martin Luther, nailing his 95 theses to the church door in Wittenberg on October the 31st, 1517. Lots of us know that one of his great concerns was the doctrine of justification by faith alone. And some of us know that this doctrine has been a hallmark of faithful evangelical preaching ever since. But we may have never appreciated exactly how radical this truth is. Justification by faith is one of the most stunning things we will ever hear. But let's make sure we understand all the terms and concepts clearly. Justified means we are declared righteous, not made righteous. When we say we are justified by faith, we emphasize that we are declared righteous not because we ourselves are righteous, but because we are declared righteous for another reason. Justified by faith does not mean we are justified on the basis of our belief, on account of our belief, or on the ground of our own believing. That would be just another way of saying we are justified by something we are or do. No, justified by faith means faith is the instrument or means by which we receive God's gracious justification, a declaration based on something outside ourselves. Thus, the doctrine of justification by faith is not merely that we are justified by our faith as opposed to our works. It is not that our faith saves us rather than our works, or that our faith is the basis of our salvation rather than our works. Rather, the doctrine of justification by faith says we are justified by God's grace, not because of our works, but because of Christ's work, the saving benefits of which we receive by faith. That's Dr. Duncan from the Alliance Quarterly Fall 2006. Now, two things stand out, and that is that justified means we are declared righteous, not made righteous. If we were made righteous, we would have no more need of God, no more need to follow Jesus Christ. We are righteous, we are good, we are clean. Why would we need to even have fellowship with other Christian believers? Why, we've been given the lottery. We won the most sought-after thing in the universe, and that's to be just like God, as good as God. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, the Bible says, "Then God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness." Now, I don't know if you've ever heard of it, but there are lookalikes of famous celebrities. They're not the celebrities, but they just look like them. In fact, Pat and I were watching the Olympics the other night on NBC Channel 5 here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. They had a feature about a young man who looked very much like Michael Phelps, the swimmer who won 8 gold medals in the Olympics, but he wasn't Michael Phelps. He was mobbed at Tiananmen Square in Beijing, but he wasn't Michael Phelps. I want to emphasize that. I've forgotten his name, but he was a journalist for the BBC. This is what we are. We, in the beginning at least, look like God. But we are not God. We will be with God someday if we believe in Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit of God's love. But we are not God. We are not Michael Phelps. We are ourselves, just us. That's why the statement that justified means we are declared righteous, not made righteous, is so meaningful. It tells us that we are saved by the grace of God, but that even if we are saved, we still are not perfect. I see every once in a while a bumper sticker on some Christian's car that says, "I'm not perfect, just forgiven." It's true. We are not perfect. John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist Church, said we are going on to perfection. In Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 43, Jesus Christ said, "You have heard the law that says, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you. In that way, you will be acting as true children of your Father in heaven. For he gives his sunlight to both the evil and the good, and he sends rain on the just and the unjust alike. If you love only those who love you, what reward is there for that? Even corrupt tax collectors do that much. If you are kind only to your friends, how are you different from anyone else? Even pagans do that. But you are to be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect." We are to be perfect, something in the future, or as Wesley said, going on to perfection, working towards perfection. Declared righteous, not made righteous. We have not done anything except become a follower of Jesus Christ, and we are declared righteous, being prepared to truly be righteous, to truly be godlike, to truly be perfect. That's the only way we're going to get into heaven and spend eternity with God, is by being perfect, being righteous. Some come close to earth, close on earth, but no one becomes perfect as long as we have this earthly body. For it is the body and not the soul that someday will die and return to dust. Now, those of you who believe because you are Christians, you are better than anyone else, had better pay attention to this. And the second thing we need to pay attention to in the article preparing to hear the radical truth is this. The doctrine of justification by faith says we are justified by God's grace, not because of our works, but because of Christ's work, the saving benefits of which we receive by faith. It is God's grace that saves us as sinners. It is not the good works that we do that saves us, but Christ's work, God's work on earth that saves us from a lifetime of slavery to sin and an eternity cut off from God. Nothing we and our imperfect body can do will get us into heaven. It's as though we stood at a friend's door at midnight and knocked and knocked and knocked. But until our friend opens the door and invites us in, do we get to come in from the cold? And it's not us that opens the door. It's God. It's the grace of God that saves us. All we can do is knock. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, Jesus Christ said, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Search, and you will find. The door will be open. For everyone who asks, everyone who searches finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you, if your child asks for bread, will give a stone? Or if the child asks for a fish, will give a snake? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him?" There is nothing we can do to get God to open that door. No amount of work, no amount of pleading or bargaining. Only the grace of God opens that door, whether it's for worldly wealth or it's for entrance to an eternal heaven. We work for God because we love God and want to be in a relationship with God, not because we love ourselves and want earthly rewards. Because if we work for earthly rewards, Christ warns us to watch out and not think we are above others, that we, because we think we are already so righteous, because we believe that we have become righteous, that we, through our efforts, our wonderfulness, have become righteous, not just declared righteous by God, but actually become too good for the masses. Those that Jesus Christ declared are the least of these. Now, Jesus Christ warns us in Luke chapter 13, verse 22, where the Bible says, "Then Jesus taught in one town and village after another as he made his way to Jerusalem. Someone asked him, 'Lord, are only a few people going to be saved?' He said to them, 'Keep on struggling to enter through the narrow door. For I tell you that many people will try to enter but won't be able to. After the homeowner gets up and closes the door, you can stand outside, knock on the door and say again and again, "Lord, open the door for us." But he will answer you, 'I don't know where you come from.' Then you will say, 'We ate and drank with you, and you taught in the streets.' But he will tell you, 'I don't know where you come from. Get away from me, all you evildoers.' In that place there will be crying and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves being driven away on the outside. People will come from east and west and from north and south and will eat in the kingdom of God. You see, some who are last will be first, and some who are first will be last." Now, why is it that Jesus Christ is telling us, on the one hand, to knock and it shall be given to you, and on the other hand, after the homeowner, that is God, closes the door, you will not be able to enter? Jesus Christ is reminding us that by our efforts, we cannot get God to open the door for us. And once our time on earth is over, that door is closed forever. Some people believe there is no God, and for them, the door is shut. Some people believe that they are as good as God, and for them also, the door is shut. Jesus Christ calls us as he did his disciples. In Mark chapter 1, verse 16, the Bible says, passing alongside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. And immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on a little farther, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who were in their boat mending the nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and followed him. Jesus Christ said, follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. And Mark says the disciples immediately left their nets and followed him. There was no discussion of how or why to follow Jesus Christ. There were no theological discussions on the meaning of this great moment in their lives and in ours. They just immediately left their nets and followed him. Now, leaving their nets was leaving their livelihood, their way of earning a living for their family. In this context, for us, it means leaving our life of old and taking on the way of Jesus Christ, the path of Jesus Christ, of becoming a follower of Jesus Christ and wanting with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength to do what God has in mind for you. Not because you want to be like God or get into heaven, which is what being saved means, because you cannot work your way into heaven. But you work, you flower, your tree bears fruit because you are a follower of Jesus Christ. You first follow Jesus Christ, and then you become fishers of men, not the other way around. Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men, is what Jesus Christ said. Not become fishers of men, and I'll think about letting you follow me. This is why God put it into my heart to have today is the Bible reading, the 23rd Psalm. We have to go back to the Old Testament to get guidance on how to be a follower of Jesus Christ. The first thing is that we follow Jesus Christ. We are his sheep. We follow Jesus Christ. And we recognize that all things come from God, not from us and our labors. We cannot do it. Only through God are all things possible. This is why we say, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And then next we say, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. We're saying that Jesus Christ, for all the radicalness that will enter our lives, for the tumult of how much our lives will be changed, God will bring a sweet gentleness to us. We didn't say he lets me lie down in green pastures, but that God makes me lie down in green pastures. If we turn our lives over to God and not try to work our way into heaven, then God will make us, gently make us, lie down in green pastures. We'll gently, as we would one of our lost sheep if we were the shepherd, make us be still and know that he is God. The hurry and the worry, the hustle and the hustling of life is not the way of following Jesus Christ. That's a worldly life. If we follow Jesus Christ, our soul will be restored. We will be reborn into a world of tranquil opposition to the earthly and destructive and sinful desires. And then we say, he leads me in paths of righteousness for his namesake. Now, once again, God is providing us with the guidance on our path of righteousness. And we do it for God, not us. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. This passage is one of my favorites. Jesus Christ tells us time and time and time again to have no fear, no fear that Jesus Christ is with us. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. And by God's grace, we receive worldly wealth. It's again not something we work for. It's something that God, through grace, has given to us. We work because we love God, not because we love ourselves. Our lives revolve around God, not around ourselves. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And then God makes the promise that we will be with God. We will be followers of Jesus Christ all the days of our lives, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's a promise that God has made to us, an eternal life in heaven with God. I cannot imagine the mercy of God for a sinner like me, the grace of God saving a wretch like me, the life that I have lived. But God has, and God will save a wretch like you too if you follow Jesus Christ and walk that valley of the shadow of death, knowing that we, you and I, will never be alone. Let us pray. O God, Father in heaven, from whom comes the light of all the universe, be the guiding beacon for our nation. Give us the courage to be generous as a nation. Give us the eyes to see those in need and to help them through any means we can as a nation, as a church, as an individual. O God, maker of all heaven and earth, be our light and let the love of Jesus Christ, from which all humanity flows, come into our hearts. Give us the clarity of heart and soul to be good apostles following your Son, to be good citizens of this great nation that you, in your generosity, have given to us for safekeeping. We worship your goodness and your mercy and your generosity, and we fear your wrath. Give us the courage to follow the commandments of your loving Son, Jesus Christ, as he said for us to love one another and love your neighbors yourself and love your enemies. Give us this strength to follow his truth, that love of God is stronger when giving of ourselves, both as citizens of a nation and stewards of a church. Give us the strength of character to be that light of Jesus Christ, that generosity of God here on earth. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. I'd like to salute all you men and women on the way to Iraq or Afghanistan or just coming home. Perhaps someday soon in this year of 2008, as we Christians all over the world unite in the cause of the Prince of Peace, we can have all those fighting in wars go home safely. Good luck and Godspeed to you all. Hello to all of our shut-ins today at the Manor Care on Skyline Drive in Fort Worth, where Pat and I will give the interdenominational worship services, and all of our shut-ins joining us no matter where you are. Several of you listen to us on the internet. Thank you so much. You are a blessing to Pat and me. I want to thank all of you who have sent us offerings to keep our Jesus Christ Said radio ministry on the air. Without you and your support, it would be impossible for us to keep going. We preach what Jesus Christ said to a hurting and a seeking world, and send your tax-deductible donations of any amount to the Jesus Christ Said ministry, Post Office Box 162712, Fort Worth, Texas, 76161. Once again, I remind you that God has given me the idea of a new church, a new type of church, one that we will call the Ecumenical Church for the followers of Jesus Christ. And I'll begin to see if there's a physical place, someplace around here in Fort Worth for us to meet at least once a month. And if you would, contact me somehow by email or regular mail with your suggestions about what we should do, where we should meet, or if you know of a place, and when we should meet, Saturday or Sunday or some other day or what time. Now, remember, we need some place that's free because we don't have the money to rent a place and pay for the radio time. I'm really looking forward to this. I'm looking forward to seeing all of you, at least on a monthly basis. If you have a favorite religious song you'd like me to close the program with, please let me know. Here's a song written in 1929 by Albert Brumley, one of the most played religious songs ever, sung by Alison Krauss and Gillian Welch from the soundtrack of the movie, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou, with Mike Compton on the mandolin and Chris Sharp on the guitar. Here's I'll Fly Away. For vacation, visiting all the kids and the grandkids up in Pennsylvania and Maryland. This is program number 829, titled Through the Valley. If you'd like a copy of this program, please write to us at Jesus Christ Said Ministry, Post Office Box 162712, Fort Worth, Texas 76161. Bye-bye now.
From Fort Worth, Texas, you've been listening to the Jesus Christ Said Radio Ministry. If you'd like to hear past sermons, please go to our website, www.jesuschristsaid.com. This is George Thomas saying, thank you for listening, and God bless you.